You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Streams Church. This is our last installment on the Welcome Home series. That's why we sort of set up this living room area. And really, we're talking about some of the values that makes Streams Church, we think, unique as a church and something that we think God has called us to. And regardless of what other people do, okay, we're just telling you what God has called us to do. So when I make any references that isn't to disparage anybody else, it's just to say this is what I feel called to do. This is what God's called. And I want to tell you, Dwyer's, that was a testimony of our heart in this church. And I really appreciate that. That's powerful. I love seeing people come to life in a relational-based church. Church should be a family, not a business, is one of the things we believe. Church should be a safe place where you can share where you're at, where you can share your journey, where you're going, and it's okay. We want to elevate people over programs at Streams Church. We talked last week that church should be a place of growth. You should have growth patterns. We talked about how messed up the Corinthian church was. I don't know if you remember that. Pretty messed up church. And this is the answer. This is what Paul said was the reason they were so messed up. He goes, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians, or the word could be instructors, even if you had 10,000 instructors in Christ, the reason you're so messed up is you don't have any fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. And he said, the reason that you can't get life together, there's no accountability in you. There's nobody walking down this road. There's not fathers. And I can guarantee you this, if somebody's spoken into your life, it's because it goes up the chain. I've spoken into somebody's life. We really handle our church that way. And anybody on staff can tell you that's the passion and the heart of the things that we do. You can get all the information today on the internet, right? You can find anything you want to find, but you need a father in the faith. You need somebody who's going to work with you. Paul further explains this concept in 2 Timothy. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So he's saying you pour your life into people that you know are going to pour their life into people. And that's the way we believe. Today, we're going to talk about shared responsibility in the church. We had a bit of a young lady in a crisis on Thursday evening, and we went to the hospital to visit them. And it was such a crisis, they had to rush her to St. Joseph Hospital. And we were there in the evening, and I had a young man who was really pouring into their life. In fact, he had gotten a word from the Lord to go over to their house. Just felt like he was supposed to share something with them. And he shows up in this situation unfolds, so he's able to be in that situation. That was powerful that he would hear God and not even only go and be there. And then they show up at the hospital, I'm there. And we had another one of our leaders that was there, and going there, going to St. Joseph, I was like, man, I should go along. I don't know if I should go along. And the leader came to me and said, you know what, Pastor Lloyd, I know, and he's known me for years, you are not a night owl. In fact, I know about 10 o'clock, you're done. So why don't you let me go? Because I'm a night owl. I'll take this. I got this for you. And then it'll be okay. I'll keep you updated, and the other young man will keep me updated. And the other young man stayed the whole night. And he's been coming into his faith strong, and he stayed the whole night. So the next morning, I got a test that this young lady went into septic shock. Her blood was poisoned. And so I ran down to the hospital. I have to be honest with you. I walked in. Some of you know my story. A little over two years ago, I went into septic shock in Japan. And I'm watching the stats go and all the numbers go. And I'm on the other side of the bed. I was in the bed last time, and I'm on the other side of the bed. And I began to feel flush. And it was a physiological response to what was going on. And I'm like, wow, this is a bit surreal. They didn't know it, but I felt like I was going to pass out there for a second. But I knew that I had two guys there that were very faithful guys. I had a young man there who was a faithful guy, that he could handle the situation. And so I knew that I could leave after a little bit, even though when I wasn't feeling well, and the situation was going to be handled. And this is what I'm talking about, shared responsibility. The young man, the husband in crisis, asked me, he goes, Pastor Lloyd, is this what you do pretty much all week? No, I'm not sure what I do all week, but we'll keep that a secret, okay? We won't tell the church. And I go, you know, sometimes we have a younger congregation, tend to. We don't have a lot of issues like this. And today I'm going to talk about what we do. In fact, the young man that had relationship with them was going to do a much better job than I would do. because of the situation that he was in and because there's already a built relationship there. One of the most difficult things in American Christianity is this. Because we have such a concept of democracy, we like to bring that into the church. Did you know the church is not democracy? If anything, it's theocracy, but it's socialism and how we work within the church. I know that's going to be hard for some of you to swallow and go, commies? No, we're not commies, right? It's socialism. That is the biblical. So when we try to bring democracy into the church, it doesn't work. Because God has called us to have shared responsibility across the board. Socialism is an economic theory of a social organization that advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned and regulated by the community as a whole. So if you have a need and I know it, I provide the need. If you're in a situation that's stressful and I can help, I provide the help. That's the concept of Christianity. And only can work, and the reason it doesn't work in the government here, is the only way it can work is if we have defined, shared, common values. If the end game and the goal and how to get there, we all believe that, and we've come to a conclusion that we're in this together, then it can work. It only happens when you have a trust in God that if I give here when it's needed, He's going to take care of the backside, that He's in control. And that really is what we do. And so we have the shared common values. Our shared common values are found in the Word of God. It is the trump card on everything that we do. This is what we believe. We have one goal. We have one mission. It's the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Do you remember what the word disciple meant? Apprentices. People that are going to follow after you. Mimic me as I mimic Christ. Go into all the world and make disciples. So that is the goal. That's our shared common value. And because of that, we have a shared responsibility together. That's how we run our church. Wayne Cadero has a great book. He's a pastor in Hawaii of a mega church, planted churches around the world. He has a book called Doing Church as a Team. It's one of the books that we really live by when it comes to how we run our church. This is what he writes. Some time ago, our church adopted the USS Reuben James, a frigate deployed to the Persian Gulf. We agreed to pray daily for the crew and provide the sailors with tapes and books. We also sent them copies of our weekend services so that they could televise them over the internal system on Sunday mornings while at sea. At the completion of her Gulf tour, the Reuben James docked in Pearl Harbor. I received an invitation to become the crew's guest on a short excursion in the Pacific. After a thorough tour of the quarters and decks, I took my place by the captain as we pulled anchored and sailed into the deep blue with a crew of 800. At a safe distance from land, the gunnery detail fired a few rounds from the ship's massive cannons. As every sailor scurried back and forth, I noticed something. Everyone knew exactly what his or her role was. Each person on that ship had a job, a function, a responsibility, and a purpose for being there. Everyone except me. That is, I was the only one tagging along for the ride. By contrast, some months later, my wife Ann and I took a three-day cruise around the islands for some R&R. On the deck, I noticed 400 lazy, sun-ripened human beings lounging around the pool, with 40 uniform-clad workers scurrying and trying to keep them happy. In a moment of reflection, I heard the Lord say to me, "My church must be a battleship, not a cruise liner. If you are to pierce the darkness and rescue souls lost on the scratch, you cannot be a ship of spectators. Everyone must know why they're on board." Can we say amen to that? That's the church. My job is real simple. My job is to equip you and to help you do your job. So Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that. So if you were wondering, what does Pastor Lloyd do? This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Ephesians 4, we're going to read 7 and 8, and then we're going to stay in that chapter. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Or you could put gifts in there too. This is why it says, when he descended on high, he took captives and gave gifts to his people. It's talking about when Jesus left this earth, and in the beginning of the book of Acts, he went to them and said, wait for the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power to go and do my kingdom. And we know in Acts chapter 1, they did receive the Holy Spirit. They did receive power. And all of a sudden, Peter's preaching, and thousands of people get saved. He's saying, when he descended on high, he took captives. I've been captivated by Christ. He has won my heart. And when my heart was won, he decided to give me special gifts, things that I could use for his kingdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said a very interesting thing when it came to this in John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "Verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And he's talking about this moment when he leaves the earth, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Trinity of God, the Counselor, the Helper, the Comforter, comes upon you, right? When he is with you, he will tell you what to do. You've experienced how I poured into the 12. You've seen how I've done miracles in your life. Now you 12 will divide up and get, let's say, 12 more. And you will do the same thing, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to do that. Now, the reason Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than me, it's not that one guy was going to do greater, but it was a multiplication concept. That all of a sudden, 12 people will turn into thousands of people, which will turn in eventually millions of people throughout time in this age. And when that happens, if they take the role, the gifts I've given them, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and they do the same thing that I did to you, it will be multiplied around the world. And it will be greater than just one person. How I have done it. It will multiply. He goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, a little further down, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. And he's talking about really, people say the fivefold ministry. It can be argued that it's a fourfold ministry, and I'll explain that in a second. Apostles, you say he gave apostles to the church. Apostles are people that are called and sent to raise up congregations and oversee leaders. And so if you see anybody in a leadership authority where they sort of help several churches at one time, that would be considered an apostle. Paul was an apostle. He would go into a city. He would start a church. He'd put an overseer. He'd go to the next city. But he kept writing letters and kept helping churches around. And I think as pastors get older and as ministers get older, there's just a sense of apostleship that come upon them because they just have wisdom they can pour into younger pastors and help them grow in Christ and become the best they can be. The prophets reveal God's heart to his people, giving guidance to individuals, to the body, and giving revelation. And so we do have prophets that come to say, you know, I think the Lord is really speaking this. They speak truth and love. They help correct. They help move people along. They help give encouragement to people. And there's something that they can bring clarity to people, what God is doing in your life. Evangelists have a unique calling and the ability to preach the gospel to those who have not yet come into the kingdom of God. And then the last two can be actually one. If you look in the Greek language, it's sort of pastor teacher. It's not pastor and teacher. It's pastor teacher. And most pastors are shepherds of a congregation who also teach not only through their life, through example, but the Word of God, how you journey along in your faith toward Jesus Christ. They lead a group of people through pastoring and shepherding and also teaching the Word of God. And the purpose of these gifts is very, very clear, right? To what? To equip the saints. That's you. Okay, so you can say, my name is Saint, and you fill in the blank, all right? Saint Miguel sounds a lot better than Michael, okay? Yeah. The saints for the work of the ministry. So my job is to give you the tools, understanding, grace, help you along the pathway. So you are going out there, and just like Jesus had, multiplying the effect of the kingdom of God. It's called shared responsibility. You have your part to play. Equipping also has the idea, I love this, if you look in the original language, of putting things right again so that these leaders in the church are coming into people's lives and putting things right. The word is used for two different occasions in the New Testament. One of it, to mend broken bones. So their job is to mend the broken bones of your life so you can stand strong and do work. And the second thing is to mend nets. And they would come in, and you know, if the nets get tangled or broken, they would come and fix the nets. Why do they fix the nets? So it can be cast out again one day and what? Catch fish. So when it says that our job is to equip the saints, it means to mend the broken bones and to fix the broken nets so that you can do the work of service that God has called you to do. And all these ministries that he talks about works together to produce strong followers. So God's people do the work of the ministry, and I do too, because I'm a follower of Jesus too. But we then pour into your life so that you can multiply what God is doing. The primary purpose of the church on a Sunday morning is not to convert sinners to Christianity. It's not. It's to perfect, to complete, and mature the saints for the ministry. And here's the problem. We think a great orator, an amazing worship on Sunday morning, will attract my friend to becoming a Christ follower. That's what we think is the answer. A mature follower of Jesus Christ is empowered to live a radical life, so they look at your life, not this service, and say, you know what? This is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what I want. Let me tell you what's more attractive on Sunday morning than smoke on the stage. I talked to a pastor recently. I go, you guys got smoke in your stage? He goes, no, we prefer to call it haze. I go, well, that sounds a lot better than smoke. They got Holy Ghost haze. I don't know what they got going on there, which is... So we did that for children's ministry. You choke when you come into our building. We try to do Holy Spirit haze. So, but I tell you what, if we had fog, I bet you 300 more people would come here. Right? Yeah. Let me tell you what's more attractive than cool music sung by super young hip singers. I bought Johnny a beanie a couple years ago. He like a really cool beanie. He won't wear it. I'm telling you, if he would wear it, we'd have to get a new church building. Because it would just, people would come from all over the place. My daughter was watching a video from a church the other day. She goes, how come all the singers are young, good-looking, and skinny? I go, I don't know. But, that, you know, if you watch some of these. So if Johnny would, you know, that's it. So let me tell you what's more attractive than a handsome, incredible orator, which we fortunately have. But let me tell you what's more. you know what's more attractive? Is a group of people that genuinely love each other, who choose to do life together in sincerity and honesty. And the biggest compliment I get from people that come to our church go, wow, your people really like each other and love each other. And like you said, you can't hide in this church. And those are the things that are powerful. That is what the world needs. Can they get a great entertainment somewhere else? Absolutely. In fact, we can't even compete. But they can't find that. They can't find a group of people that are journeying together, that it's okay to be walking where you're walking. It's okay not to be okay. We just don't want you to stay there. To work through that. And so that is what is unique. That's what's attractive to the church. Verse 14 and 15 says this of Ephesians 4. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is ahead, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As, would you say that with me? Each part does its work. As each part does its work, everyone plays their role. The scripture here, it's an interesting, the ligaments really stood out to me. Streams Church would be a bag of bones if we didn't have people that understood this. The ligaments are really what keep all the bones unified and connected. Ligaments can stretch, I love this, and contract when necessary, which allows them to absorb shock under stress. Don't you think that's what we should be? People that are there, that when things are going not right for you, when there's a lot of stress, that we as a body can bend and move and help you through that. We can absorb the stress. Romans 12, 3 through 7, again, reiterates the concept. Do we have that scripture up there, Romans 12? Thank you. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, amen, then give generously. If it is, sorry, I had to throw it in there. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And I could talk a lot about those things. One of the things, I think one of the greatest things that leaders can do is do it diligently. Just keep the course, keep the course, keep the course. And I could tell you story after stories how leaders who just get so burned out Friday that they can't keep the course. Diligently is the answer. Giving generously is the answer, if that's what God has given you. If it's encouraged, I also love it says, if it's prophecy and according to your faith, wherever you're at that level, just do it. It's okay. And if you're here at a 3, do it at a 3. Someday it'll be a 5. Someday it'll be an 8. You take what you have, do it at the level you're at, and God will increase that and bless that. That's scriptural stuff. What's funny is Paul talks about this concept in several books of the Bible. Every church was having a problem with this issue, that we're all one body. They wanted Paul to come in, or they wanted somebody else to come in. They wanted the superstar up front. What he's trying to say is the superstar up front doesn't build the kingdom of God. It only is built when we understand our roles and we work together. So a couple things we understand is God desires all his children to work together, that he gave us different gifts so that we would be dependent upon each other, and he gave these gifts through grace. And if he gave these things through grace, you didn't deserve them. It's just he chose to give you these things. Our response is very simple. Share responsibility. We know our part, and we do it well. We know our role, and we do it well. If you've ever been in a play, you may not be the star, but you got to take your role. You got to know your lines. And if the play is going to work well, you have to play your part very well. And so that the whole becomes one whole unit. So you got to know your part and you do it well. We do our part with great humility. There's not a concept that says, well, I am who I am and you're who you are and I'm the leader and I'm greater. My role as a pastor shepherd is unique, but it's not important than your role. If somebody doesn't hold our babies every service in the nursery, there are young moms and dads that will be distracted constantly and cannot tune in to what God is speaking to them through the Word of God. They won't become mature in their faith. They won't have the opportunity if we're not taking care of that. I don't do poopy diapers. I wasn't good at that. I don't even do it as a grandpa. I've done it a couple times as a grandpa, and it's just like, yikes. I'm so... I know, I should learn, I should do better, I get that, I'm an old man. So I couldn't work in the nursery, but you know what, if I wasn't pastoring the church, I used to do children's camps. Like years in a row I did children's camp. I'd be over there in the first through fifth grade one of the services. I'd be having a fun with Aaron and Joanne and all the kids. That's what I would be doing if I wasn't standing up here in front of you. I just happen to have a bigger mouth than most people, and that's why I'm up here, you know what I mean? But that's what I would be doing. In fact, I did these children's camp for several years. I can't remember the last time I told this story, but I'll tell it again. And I had this character called Moose. And Moose was this high school sort of football, sort of dense guy, if you will. And Moose had a pet brick that he would... he called it Brick. And we're talking 100. He'd put the brick down and he'd go, roll over, and he'd hit the brick, and the brick would fall over, and it was all these stupid tricks, or I'd stay, and so the kids loved Moose. Every year he would show up for a time, so Brittany was younger, and she invited a friend to come over to her house after school, and so the friend, first time in her house, I open up the door, and she sees me, she goes, Moose! I go, yeah, you're right, you caught me, I'm Moose. I love doing that. If I wasn't here, that's what I'd be doing, because it's natural to me. It's fun for me. God has placed that gift in my heart. I enjoy doing that. We have some great musicians. They're talented. You can tell what you're supposed to do if you have talent. God doesn't didn't make you by mistake. You have certain gifts and talents and things that you enjoy for a reason. And then the last thing is we do it cheerfully. You do it with humility, understanding that we're all part of this, and we do it cheerfully. If it's to lead, lead diligently. Here's the question that you need to ask God when you look at your life. God, how can I take what you've given me? I'm going to assess it right now. why I'm built the way I'm built, why I am, where I'm at on my journey. How can you take where you have blessed me and use it for your kingdom? I truly believe that every person that's sitting here today is here for a reason. God placed you here. Have you ever worked a puzzle and thrown out the pieces, and you find that one piece, and you're trying to figure out where it fits, and you're just working around, but you can't find where it fits at that moment? You don't take that piece and throw it in the trash can, do you? Because you're going to know there's going to be a fine time that you're going to find how that fits in there. So maybe you're like the puzzle piece right now. I'm not quite sure. It's okay. We'll figure it out. We'll work through this together. And when God places you there, and we all come together, all the pieces, then we have a beautiful picture of something, right? That's what God's called us to. So let's stand and pray. We believe this with all our heart at our church, that our church is a team. That God has called you here for a reason. I hope you get this. I'm praying that the day of the superstar, charismatic, upfront guy comes to an end. And the body of Christ raises up and no longer becomes spectators, but they become active in faith, spreading the kingdom everywhere, multiplying what God has done. So, Father, first of all, forgive us when we don't understand what you've called us to do. That the church, forgive the church is what I'm asking, Father, for times that we have not come together as the body of Christ, that we exalt somebody more than somebody else. Help us to walk in humility, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, to understand how needed each part is, how you've called each part here. I pray, Father, that you would help us understand why you made us the way you made us, so that we can do your kingdom. Give us insight and understanding, we pray. Help us walk in a way worthy of the calling you have called us to. And I thank you gave it to us by grace, through grace. We didn't deserve it. You just chose to give it to us. And therefore, we choose to walk in it. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.